Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters. So okay. We were talking post-controversy about some of the goings-on at the City Council meeting last night. So there's just one other thing I thought mentioning, other than the fact that Councillor Toomey was pretty mad about the letter. Somebody wrote a rather nasty letter. I'm dying to read it.
Yeah.
We really ripped into East Cambridge. So
will it be in the next agenda? Because it didn't make it?
It probably shows up as a late communication. I'm just curious as hell.
Yeah.
But it ticked him off so much, he exercises his charter right for all policy orders.
Because no one wanted to
And I'm pretty
to spend,
sure that's why. Because they wouldn't allow him to speak. So he said, fine, if I can't talk, you can't talk.
But he did still speak.
He did a little bit. Yeah, he tried to squeeze a word in edgewise. But on the matters, on the manager's agenda, there was a response. I think it was something that came back the previous week, but they delayed it, having to do with a proposal to put in bicycle infrastructure
from Sydney to Putnam
along Massachusetts Avenue. And in the original report from Owen O'Riordan in the Public Works Department about this, it was actually very well written, very well crafted, that says, there are competing uses, and this is not such an easy thing to just sort of say, sure, let's do what you like right now. But that actually led to some negative response from some of the bike safety crowd, saying, no, but we want it this way, and it's got to be this way.
All right, we're talking about right out here, there is a bike lane, right?
Right.
They're trying to make it more separate?
The thing is, I'm personally comfortable with a lot of the ordinary bike lanes, and I think there are a lot of different treatments that you can do, but some of the sort of hardcore advocates, as I was calling them, the velo zealots, they basically have it's got to be a protected lane to the right of the parked cars or up on the sidewalk or whatever, or nothing.
Yeah, but the quick build ones can't do that. Quick build.
The
means
quick
you
build are usually the
more
ones where they.
Right?
Yeah, those are typically what you see when they stick those white plastic posts into the ground.
Right.
Not the ground, but they bolt them to the street to kind of create a kind of a temporary separation like that. It was originally sold as sort of a pilot, but it wasn't really a pilot because there was no way the advocates were ever going to allow it to go back.
Mm.
But so the thing is that Central Square is an interesting test case because even if you're okay with separated lanes everywhere, it's a little trickier when you're in a congested area where there's
buses,
loading,
bikes,
trucks, loading, unloading.
And there's also lots of construction
bikes,
going
pedestrians,
on.
Pedestrians, people getting on and off the bus, whatever. And the inevitable, whether you love it or not, the inevitable taxis, Ubers, and Lyfts, they're going to pull over because somebody wants to get off of the subway or something, right? Mm-hmm. So, if does the one size fits all separate the bikes thing work? I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the public works statement was, I thought, very reasonable. But then the bike safety community was saying this is outrageous. We got to do this and that. So something happened, which I'm a little questioning here, which was this letter. So this was it was a joint letter from this guy, Nate Fillmore, who's the gung-ho guy with the Cambridge Bike Safety, and Mike Monestine from the Central Square Business Improvement District, saying it's a joint letter saying we are okay with this, that, and the other thing. And then councillors were sort of, and I think maybe even the city manager, were quoting that as if to say, see, we're all on board. And I thought to myself, I said, wait a minute. I love Michael Monestine to death. I think he's great. If he wanted to run for president, I'd vote for him, right? But I got to tell you, just because we established the Central Square Business Improvement District and Mike is the executive director doesn't mean he's king.
Yeah.
You can't just sort of say Central Square has decided and that's it.
Maybe someone should tell
some of us, myself included, are on a Central Square Advisory Committee. I think there are a lot of other people who are stakeholders. At least Louis B. DePasquale seems to understand and acknowledge this, as well as the people in public works that, there are a lot of other people that need to be talked to before anybody kind of whisks things through. One thing I think that did make sense, not only in this letter, but also in the words from the city, was that there is a fundamental distinction between how you handle bicycle safety along Massachusetts Avenue, between Putnam Ave and around Bigelow Street, which is around City Hall.
You're right.
And then the heart of Central Square, which is like Bigelow down to Sydney Street. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just sort of hoping that there'll be a broader view of this. Mm. I have a feeling, not more than a feeling, because actually even right across from us right now, mm-hmm. the Mass in Maine, which I think we're not supposed to call it Mass in Maine anymore, right?
Oh, no, I don't know.
We're supposed to call it
something
or other. I forget.
Modern
Mass in
Market
Maine.
Something. Market Central.
Market Central, right? Which is basically they want to move the bike facility up onto the sidewalk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So up on the curb. And then it would have to come off the curb for the rest of it here. So it's possible that the long-term view from Public Works may involve kind of a more an elevated facility separated from the parked cars and the traffic and everything else. There would still, of course, be conflicts with pedestrians and people getting on.
They're
going to
have to get rid of, frankly, parking for certain stretches. Which
I think for the mass.
I mean, you know, most people. It's buses, bikes, and walkers, and get rid of these metered spaces. I don't know who uses them, but if you can get one, great. But I don't. I mean, businesses. Not everyone's going to like everything, but
we can say I don't know who's using them, but you know what? Occupied.
But there's not. I know, but there's not that many. They're going to have to do that. I don't see how they can do it without getting rid of those.
I do agree that they would probably have to remove some parking if they're going to pull it here. But the thing is that trucks will still have to take deliveries, and they're still going to do
it. But that's more reason to not have the cars there, because you still need. I think the deliveries, frankly, are more important to businesses than someone parking their car.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
But you know, somehow the sort of utopian ideal that somehow cyclists are going to be all the the great patrons of all the stores and shops in Central Square. That's a little.
Oh, wait a minute. Actually, I think some places do this. Parking in the evenings after most deliveries are done.
I actually like the idea of different times of day, having
restricted
different rules.
Parking,
from my point of view, honestly, since most of the deliveries are happening at certain hours, I would be perfectly okay, even as a cyclist, to have the bike lane area be also do double duty as deliveries.
Well, that's
deliveries
what they're doing with the buses and bike lanes are now.
Yeah,
combining.
So, you know, if you can kind of share.
Right.
Buses and bikes, you know, you can also do a little bit with deliveries. But some of the zealots are kind of like, no, it's mine, and this is my lane, and you will get out or else, right? And
somebody was quoting like all these accidents, which is disturbing. But
bad quoting of statistics. I didn't hear that one.
Did you hear that? It was a list, and it kept going. It was like one every 3 weeks, it seemed to be.
Right.
Not death.
No.
But these were both, I think, pedestrians and bikes.
I know, but I think I have seen some statistics quote where when you actually looked at the particulars about it was extremely misleading.
Yeah, I mean, I know, you can't
And the truth is that, as Councillor Kelly and others have pointed out correctly, the real difficulty with bicycle safety is not on the straightaways, it's at intersections. And all the protection in the world doesn't really address that very well.
If you don't pay attention, or maybe even get off your bike, look around five ways, and then
if you look,
flag the truck.
If you look at almost every serious accident, and almost I think pretty much every fatality, including people who I knew, friends of mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not invariably, but it is more often than not. It's the the large right turning truck.
Yeah. Can't see.
People don't anticipate appropriately. So, and separation doesn't address that a bit. So,
no, you have to just.
Yeah.
I think a lot of real cyclists feel like they shouldn't have to do all that vigilance. And I think that's where
But that's what something that actually worries me is that if you create facilities that give people a false sense of safety,
of security,
and then they hit an intersection, and then they get whacked.
No,
I don't know that you've necessarily
you can't
done them a
secure
favor.
In this world. I'm sorry, maybe I just feel like
you got to be like Larry Bird. You got to have eyes, or you got to be able to see around the back of your head too. So
that's a nice quote.
Yeah, so anyway, so that was one thing here. And then, some of the policy orders will have to come back in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, because there's no...
when the council returns.
Convening for Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, so now, we perhaps should talk a little bit about municipal elections now.
Yeah, they are coming up. 6 weeks?
Yeah, they are coming up here.
Okay.
And actually, maybe we'll just sort of show a few things, just sort of resources.
Right. Which one? This is CCTV.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to do? Yours?
We'll just do CCTV first. But I just want to say, so I actually sent out, because I didn't want to jump the gun this year, because I happen to know mm-hmm. that many voters, most voters, quite honestly, do not make up decisions about council and school committee elections until pretty close to election day.
I think that's true.
They're kind of
elections.
Feeling them out a little bit, or else they're just saying, I don't know
and
about
the forums really have. There's only been a couple.
Yeah, and the thing is, not that many people go. Some people check out the videos, and I'm grateful for CCTV for recording as many of them as they do.
It's
great.
The only ones that do it, yeah.
Right.
Well, they should be, because the city shouldn't be recording.
Right. No, they know what they're doing, and I'm glad they're doing it. You know, but the thing is that, so anyway, I put up these candidate pages. I've been doing it since 2001 or 3 or something like that. But I didn't actually make any requests to candidates to update information until today.
Oh.
That said, there were a lot of candidates who've been sending me stuff anyway, which has been wonderful. And as soon as I get it, pretty much I get it up there, you know, updated pictures, information, whatever. So what I did is pretty much made the same request that I've made in the past. I think I actually simplified it a little bit, you know, because all I can really do is make suggestions. I always just say, just make your statements.
Campaign?
I never nail down candidates by saying, well, what do you feel about this issue?
No. You don't, you're just basically no endorsement, a vehicle for them to,
Yeah, so just, come on, so send me some stuff here. It's just like, I always say I'm like a dating service between voters and candidates, right? So anyway, my request went out. But there are candidate forums been happening. There are endorsements happening from various organizations. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is a subject.
Where are those? I haven't seen those.
The only one that has been very public about their endorsement was this Better Cambridge group. So they gave their blessing to 9. Basically, as far as I can tell, to 9 candidates. And as far as I can tell, they had one criteria for endorsement, which is, did you support the affordable housing overlay? If you did, and you were not crazy, then you're endorsed. And if you didn't, you're gone, even if you're Albert Einstein.
Hmm.
So, so that's that. So it's kind of cut and dried for that. There's also apparently the Cambridge Residents Alliance has also been blessing candidates. I know of 2 who've gotten their blessing, but I couldn't find a list. As an organization, the Residents Alliance seems to be sort of floundering, quite honestly.
Well, I think because there's differing opinions among them.
Right, but the thing is, they do have a Facebook page and they do have a website, and they're not even bothering to keep it up at all. So the thing is, you can't really tell what they're up to.
Maybe they
have an email list, but I'm not on it. I think I once asked to be on it, but they wouldn't let me.
No, I think it's going through some...
I think that the difficulty is, and then there's this revolutionary group, the Mike Connolly crowd, the Bernie Sanders acolytes, right? So, 2 years ago, they endorsed more or less the same people that the Residents Alliance endorsed, and, maybe with an exception or two, but it was very much in alignment. I think there's some deviation. I don't know if it's going to end up looking more or less the same this time here, but it's a little tough. Nobody's sort of showing their cards exactly who the endorsements are just yet. I mean, the only ones I know of, for the ABC crowd was Azeem, Mallon, McGovern, Mednick, Musgrave, Siddiqui, Simmons, Sabrina Wheeler, and Toomey. The Residents Alliance, the only two I really know about because they've was Charles Franklin, apparently got their blessing, and Nicola Williams. Mm. I think there are 5 others that I'm pretty sure will get their blessing, but I'm not going to say it because I haven't been able to discern that. The revolutionaries, the Our Revolution group, apparently gave their blessing to Nicola Williams, but I don't know who the rest of them are. All right. There are some other entities as well, but honestly, it's kind of hard to say. Mm. And in a certain sense, it doesn't make any difference because who are these people, right? I mean, who are these endorsing people anyway, and why should anybody pay any attention to them any more than your next door neighbor, really?
Well, the only ones of that group that have, actually, our revolutionary people did have a forum.
they had a form, and I believe they were going to meet afterwards to make decisions.
And then ABC had a form that was well attended at the library.
But they made clear that their decisions for endorsements were not being done by ABC, but by the Better Cambridge Action Fund, which is
ABC. Yeah, but they have separated out. They're a little
only
more,
for the sake of legality.
And then the other one, I don't think they're there's another form, group. There's, per se, there's Cambridge Residents.
The Small Property Owners Association.
Oh, that's fairly new. I saw that.
So
October
they will
30th.
Be doing a camp. Pretty much late in the game.
That's going to be very well attended.
The new
I'm sure.
Cambridge Citizens Coalition is also going to have a candidate form.
New Cambridge.
Tomorrow night, it's the. Climate change, the mothers out front, and other
climate
ones.
Change at that senior center. That'll be very well. I'm not going to be there. I may have gone if I could, but I. I'm not
right. By the way, I find it. You know, I always find the Sierra Club makes endorsements, so they did not apparently endorse somebody who. I'm not going to name the name here because I'm not going to. Gratify them.
Someone you thought,
but somebody who's like the most gung ho for solar power, climate change, like defines them. You forget, Sierra Club absolutely is going to be supporting this person, but no, you know, there's a lot of insider game that goes on here. Like, we're not going to give you an endorsement because we don't want to jeopardize somebody else who's our friend or whatever.
Well,
so.
I'm not sure how much weight the Sierra Club has in Cambridge. I think they've basically been
putting themselves in there to try and influencing. And, you know, some candidates like just listing it amongst their endorsements.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think that the best thing every voter should do is ignore the endorsements primarily and just...
Go to forums.
Go to the forums
say,
and
to
see what
pages.
The candidates have to say. In fact, just to show you some samples.
This is CCTV.
So CCTV has actually been gathering up candidate. They're all about 5 minutes, maybe a little bit less. Just little snippet videos.
Yeah, like 3 minute, 2 minute videos.
Yeah. So they've got most of the candidates. They got not only city council, but also school committee candidates.
And you've linked these now to your site.
Yeah, so if you pop over to the Cambridge candidate pages, so again, not to toot my own horn here, but if you go to that, you know, then that actually puts out all the candidates in there. And on any one of them, if you were to go, like hit Burham Azim, for example, right now, so that would open up a page, and at the bottom of the page, you'll find a link back to the CCTV candidate video.
Plus, you see a link to if they have a website and everything else. Yeah.
Now, some of these candidates haven't sent me anything, but then again, I only asked this morning, you know, if they could do that. So my suggestion is do that because, and then there's links to their own candidate website so you can find out what they have to say. Right. Now, you know, not every, just because somebody says this is what I represent doesn't mean that's, yeah. Honestly, I've always felt about political candidates at every level is that how they stand on the issues is interesting, but the most important criteria is what kind of a human being are they?
Yeah.
You know, are they trustworthy, solid? Are they receptive to new facts? Do they process information and learn from it?
Yeah.
Do they act as your representative? Okay. And that's not really related to what their particular stance on this or that issue happens to be. You just want an upstanding human being. You want 9 upstanding human beings to represent you and everybody else in your city on the city council and 6 plus the mayor for the school committee. That's the most important criteria. That's one of the reasons why I kind of downplay these endorsements because they tend to be very single issue focused. And honestly, that's not really what it should
be about. Is that up to you? Why does Patty Nolan have her 2017?
Oh, I know. I'll just say that is that what I do just as a placeholder.
I see.
I leave the old stuff up until I get the new stuff because I'd rather not give them an empty page.
Well, she's got a website.
Right. So I put out the word today, and I'm sure by the end of tonight, I'm already going to start getting stuff back And you know, over the next week, I'll be updating pages every single day, you know.
Well,
I will tell you, though, you know, not to give specific numbers, but, you know, the number of hits that these candidate pages are going to get, it'll grow steadily toward election day.
And it gets
But I will tell you that in the 3 or 4 days right before election day, it goes through the damn roof.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
you are really the go-to person because it's all in one place.
Right.
And it's not censored.
It's not censored, I mean, I'll say what, I'll speak my piece on
but you don't speak
Cambridge
it on
Civic
their
Journal.
Page. Exactly.
But I'm not going to do it a thing on the Cambridge candidate pages. Right. That's just for the voters, period.
What else do you have here? You've got you've got money stuff, right?
Right. So the thing is I got a few things here. Mm-hmm. One thing is the candidate forums. Oh, yeah. And there's
right.
You know, some information that I've been putting here. Let's actually scroll down there a little bit here.
On this one?
Yeah. Yeah. If you just scroll down a little bit. So okay. The thing is that, you know, people, you know, and again, I'm not doing this just because there are some organizations mm-hmm. who are emphasizing certain things. Right. But I did find it interesting, you know, mm-hmm. some people talk about campaign finance and the influence of money in politics. So I said mm-hmm. it's very easy to access the information mm-hmm. about how much money have people raised.
From where.
And, you know, how much of it originates from sources mm-hmm. in Cambridge and mm-hmm. what percentage come from people in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. How much come from unions? I find that interesting, though I'm not going to necessarily cast a judgment about why a union... Or many unions would be pouring money into certain city council candidates.
But they would be part of the percentage, no? Or is that a separate percentage?
That's separate. Oh, okay. Right? So the thing is that there are, you know, some candidates get a remarkable amount of money from the unions. And now remember, most of these unions are construction unions.
Right.
So they are very much...
Tied in with the real estate.
Real estate development and union jobs and whatever are kind of tied together. Mm-hmm. So they're correlated a lot. Let's mm-hmm. just say a lot. Mm-hmm. So to me, the kind of the telling thing is if you ask the amount of money that comes from unions plus the amount from mm-hmm. clearly identifiable real estate players. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a little iffy. You have to sort of do a little judgment. Yeah. But I tend to be conservative, actually.
Yeah.
There are others who are much more harsh about this, not me. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, some people actually, a huge fraction of their money is coming from basically people mm-hmm. in the development industry.
Yeah.
So that's one other thing. Yeah. I also have there linked off the candidate pages is the calendar of the various candidate forums.
Okay, is that on, let's see.
As well, you know, it's sort of right up here at the tippy top there.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
here we go.
Yeah, so, you know, so there's September. Most of these dates have passed.
Gone.
So, you know, but you see right there, Climate Action Coalition Candidates Forum. That's the one that's tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if individual candidates also, like John Pitkin has been sending some little coffees and things mm-hmm. that he's been having around town. So I'll put it in there if there's room, you know. And, you know, some campaign kickoffs.
I heard this one was changed, or it's in the 9th or something.
Yeah, so some of the dates have changed. Yeah. So basically, I do this here just to help all the various organizations and candidates so that they don't clash. In other words, you don't want to have a situation where...
Right.
You know, they're having a candidate forum on the same night that the ordinance committee is having a pivotal meeting or something. So I basically do these sorts of things to basically help referee the process.
Right.
Right. You know, and it seems to work. I've been actually doing it a few years and actually before I even set it up, people will say, are you going to be doing that again? Because it's really helpful. So I set it up every year and it seems to work just fine. Actually, just a mention here right there. There was the one we mentioned earlier on October 30th, the Small Property Association.
That's fairly new.
By the way, I should actually correct something I said. It's true that back in the early 2000s, the SPOA folks actually who were putting out newsletters, there was a little questionable use of money, but in their newsletters, because they put out this big citywide mailing right now, apparently everything's a bit different these days. There's another organization that's sort of been involved in this as well. So I want to sort of take back, dial back a little bit of what I might have said about SPOA about that. It's like, I don't think that the executive director is pocketing any cash or anything like that.
Well, you also like them because they're against the affordable housing overlay.
Well, I agree with it, but the thing is that I didn't want to suggest that there was currently any shenanigans going on financially, because that's just not happening right now. You know, but the thing is, when you pay for citywide mailings, like Harding did with this, the cannabis issue, or
someone's got money.
Spoley did with the affordable housing overlay issue, these things don't come for free. But speaking of citywide mailings, I think probably my biggest concern is that before all is said and done in the six mm-hmm. weeks between now and Election Day, is that groups like A Better Cambridge, ABC, will dig deep and they will do a big citywide mailing where they pretty much assert as factual certain statements about the way things are in the world. And, you know, and there are a lot of voters who, you know, who are just going to accept something because, the paper said it, right? I hope voters read things carefully and research things carefully. And if one group is going to do a big citywide mailing, then I hope multiple ones do it so there's just not one side of any issue.
Well, I think a lot of people get the information online.
I think people get information online.
You know, a lot of renters aren't going to get this mailing either. I mean, right. A lot of them go to households.
But I've heard some of the candidates express some concern that basically the ABC group is going and saying, we're the ones who represent the interests of renters. But in fact, honestly, whether you like the affordable housing overlay or not, that was not an initiative that was going to help most renters deal with their high rent. It was very specific about creating subsidized housing.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're going to try and somehow convince somebody just because they're renting, I mean, I've seen some of these ABC characters wearing cardboard things on the or vests or printed T-shirts saying "Renters Matter," and they're apparently it's part of their strategy that they're going to basically try and portray themselves as the great saviors of renters. When in fact, there's not a single thing.
It's a different issue.
Yeah, it's a totally different issue.
It really
you know,
is. That's interesting.
You know, so I'm a little concerned that that. You know, in a city that doesn't really have I would love it if the Cambridge Chronicle was really, really the paper of record, but most people in Cambridge are not really consulting a paper of record. We don't really have a good job of sort of disseminating the truth out there, widely. I worry that in a municipal election, basically people, like the Our Revolution crowd tried to do when Sanders helicoptered in, they're going to try and influence the election. That's great. You know, fair is fair. It's democracy, right? But I don't like it when it's not done truthfully and fairly and in a sort of balanced way.
Yeah, but I think people can... There's so much online. They just have to pick and choose.
Yeah, yeah.
And go to the candidate forums. That's really...
Yeah.
And people are knocking on doors.
And listen,
you might need a candidate.
And ask your friends. Ask your friends.
Yeah.
You know, I
mean, to vote.
It was an old tradition. They called them dear friend cards, you know, where you would basically send a postcard supporting a candidate to 100 people.
Yeah.
I hope they do that again. Okay. I think that'd be great. So,
all right. So we are here.
Maybe next week. On Cambridge Inside Out.
There is no council meeting. Okay. Bye.